Okay, before I delve into my presentation, I just wanted to offer a few words from Deepak Chopra, so about transformation. At a time when everyone seems to have their own podcast and folks are frequently broadcasting their opinions across social media, Deepak Chopra says more people need to practice what they preach. Peace can only be carried by those who are peaceful, he said. Amid the many issues plaguing society today, Chopra said, is the tendency to push others to change before improving themselves. I believe there's no social transformation in the absence of personal transformation, he said, before quoting Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Louise, and thank you for asking me to contribute a sermon on transformation. I hope you will enjoy the mental journey we're about to take together. First, let's look at various definitions of the word and its origins. Transformation comes from the late Middle English and Old French. It's taken from the word transformare, having power or tendency to transform. Early 13th century credits the word transfiguren, meaning gloriously alter the appearance of, especially in reference to Christ. From Old English, transfigurare, or to change the shape of. Also, it refers to being spiritually transformed in conformity to Christ, late 14th century. It is also cited to mean adopt a role of an actor. It also can mean be metamorphosed by magic. The intransitive meaning change the appearance or character of is rare from the 1840s. Butterflies are the ultimate symbol of transformation. They only live for a short time, about 2 to 6 weeks, depending on the species. However, butterflies have existed on Earth longer than humans have. So as long as we've been here, there have been these beautiful winged creatures. Butterflies undergo... I have trouble turning the page. Sorry about that. Butterflies undergo a miraculous metamorphosis. They are symbols of transformation, change, rebirth, and even resurrection. Thus, the butterfly symbolizes our own ability to transform our lives and evolve spiritually. Before they became butterflies, caterpillars create a protective shell around themselves, a chrysalis from which it emerges to transform and take flight. The well-known monarch butterfly can travel between 50 to 100 miles a day. It can take up to 2 months to complete their journey. The farthest ranging monarch butterfly recorded traveled 265 miles in one day. Monarchs living west of the Rocky Mountain Range in North America overwinter in California along the Pacific coast near Santa Cruz and San Diego. Here, microclimatic conditions are very similar to that in central Mexico. Monarchs roost in eucalyptus, Monterey pines, and Monterey cypresses in this state. According to pre-Hispanic folklore, the migrating butterflies carried the souls of ancestors visiting from the afterlife. For centuries, Mexico's monarchs have served as a powerful cultural symbol of connection between the living and the dead. The Aztecs believed that butterflies were in charge of taking warriors' souls who died in battle or were sacrificed, and the souls of women who died giving birth to their resting place. Iztapalotl, the obsidian butterfly goddess of Aztec culture, seems to have been an important figure since the post-classic period. In Japanese culture, butterflies carry a number of meanings, but are most closely associated with symbolism of metamorphosis, transformation, renewal, and rebirth. These renowned creatures also symbolize youth, the soul, good fortune, and kinship in this country. In addition, they are seen as a personification of one's soul. Still more, we have Native American tribes who knew butterflies as symbols of transformation and joy. For some tribes, the butterfly plays a vital role in their creation stories and is often seen as the messenger between the physical and spiritual world. There are many, many other symbols of transformation. Let's delve into some of the most universal. The phoenix is a mythical bird that rises from the ashes. The lotus is said to blossom in adversity because it blooms in mud. The tree represents renewal and growth. The Ouroboros, infinite renewal. The resurrection, triumph over death. The alligator, regeneration, because it can regenerate its tail. And renewal. The bat, they are pollinators, fertility symbols, the transformation from earth to sky, or material to supernatural world. The bear, because they hibernate during winter months and emerge in spring, symbolizes new beginnings and renewal. The dolphin symbolizes transformation because they return to the water where earth was created. The frog symbolizes new beginnings and transformation. If we turn to Christianity, we see examples too. The power of the resurrection is the power to transform inwardly, returning us to the image of God for which we were created. The resurrection imparts a new life. It starts at salvation when God regenerates our fallen dead spirit and gives us the life of Christ through the indwelling spirit. While Jesus' transformation happened instantly, our transformation is a lifelong process called sanctification. We are to lay down our lives and allow his resurrection, resurrective power to transform us into new life. And according to the Church of the Harvest blog, the resurrection brings us to a transformed Peter. After witnessing the risen Lord, Peter's life was radically altered. He moved from thinking Jesus was the Messiah to knowing it with unshakable certainty. This knowledge led him to lead the early church with boldness and authority. In fact, Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension are all forms of sacred transformation. If we look at another context, the term cultural transformation is well known in business circles. Simply stated, cultural transformation is the collective shifting of individual behavior to support a shared goal. It's a demanding process, but can be achieved and is highly rewarding when done properly, it is said. Another word with the same meaning is acculturation. It refers to replacement of one's culture's traits with another, such as what happened to Native American tribes and many indigenous peoples across the globe during colonization. Culture equals the values of attitudes and actions of its people. For example, the implementation of the internet equalizes all and merges culture into one unified voice. Real-life examples of cultural transformation: Zappos, the shoe company, Aetna Insurance, and IBM. Technological innovation, for instance, the internet connects people across all social groups, and globalization, the integration between nations, causes different cultures to copy each other, resulting in a new culture. Cultural transformation takes place when the organization creates a process to realign the culture to its vision, mission, and core values to achieve its strategic objectives. And now a delightful diversion for your senses. Let's do a meditation. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Take three more cleansing breaths as you totally relax. Envision yourself sheltering under a majestic sequoia tree. You may have a blanket, something to drink, and a notebook with you. Be the moment of beautiful serenity. Notice the light and the breeze in the trees. Take another cleansing breath. Do you feel your body and spirit transforming? Do you feel calmer, lighter, more peaceful, and aware? It's amazing that we can mentally cue ourselves to cultivate transformation. Like the symbols we talked about, perhaps just a picture of the mighty sequoia could create this for you. And now we have arrived at the bio portion of the sermon. Thank you for indulging me. I wrote a one-woman show in 2008 called The Levity of Lithium, a self-described hybrid entertainment vehicle, comedy, that is composed of a lot of my original poetry and the story of my first marriage's dissolution. It looks at the condition of mania, how it can be treated, and its aftermath. As you may have heard, it's not all bad. And this bodily transformation makes you feel invincible and hyper aware. Here is my title poem from The Levity of Lithium. I am here for your representation. We comprise 2% of the population. It is called a condition, disease, disorder, and it makes our life expectancy shorter. But just a simple matter of salt corrects this one divisible fault. A knowledge of one's unique biology prevents the need for further apology. So follow this proven and practiced directive. There's no need for any invective. Be yourself just as you are. Take your medication and you can go far. When your mind begins its escalation, remember the following declaration. Do not fear the bipolar label. Ingest this element. Stay stable. So I'm going to read from the prose part of the piece, as well as there's a poem or two I'm going to read as well. So the scene opens, and I'm plunging the French press down of a French press coffee maker. Do you ever get the feeling your whole life was being compressed? Like all your positive and negative traits were being condensed into a version of you you're not sure you should let out? An espresso version of yourself, like, this is going to keep me up way past my bedtime. Or if only I had tried the beans before they got roasted and burned. This is what happens if you are bipolar and go off your medication. All of your idiosyncrasies and behavior take center stage, and you feel like you're behind the wheel of a very fast car that likes to go wherever it wants, running on illusions and fast talk. Colors change, people appear more dramatic, your metabolism increases, you feel euphoric most of the time and merely superhuman when not. Physical aspects include weight loss, the reduced need for sleep, and expansion of your sexual energy. It has everything to do with the dopamine. This hormone is transported between neurons in the brain. These neurons have a pre- and postsynaptic wall. Your brain filters the dopamine between this spacer cleft, carrying with it an electric charge. Too much dopamine results in mania, heightened psychomotor skills, and rapid speech and thoughts. Too little dopamine, and you feel stiff and can develop bradycardia, a slow heart rate. No one really knows why lithium works in treating this, but it does appear to regulate the transport between the synapses. In the United States, the FDA approved lithium to treat bipolar disease in 1970 under the guidance and encouragement of Dr. Ronald Five. Back to my thoughts on mania. You think the car that is you should stop, but you're convinced you don't want it to. It's a lot of fantasy fused with high octane energy. Three words of caution to live by. Watch your spending. A friend of mine, coincidentally bipolar as well, told me in one weekend she spent $5,000 on clothes. That's nothing. People spend millions on manic spending sprees in a day or two. So my father has purchased mansions, cars, and other luxuries on manic spending sprees. If you are a friend or family member of a person experiencing mania, do your best to secure their credit cards. You will be doing yourself, the concern, and the U.S. economy a huge favor. Best to follow a lighthearted approach like, you know, Mandy, I noticed that magnetic strip on the back of your credit card is basically worn out and could be misread by those electronic readers. Let's put it aside and order a new one next time your statement is due. Give your card some R&R. And then I'm going to also read from page 15, excerpt from page 15. This poem is really about me and my ex-husband and how we were trying to salvage what was left of our relationship. So, and I was appreciative that he could look to the future and not try and dwell in the past. So anyway, it's called Cork. I know you have safely moved beyond. You are not weeping and going through endless tissues with tears that are for me, trying to put the stopper on the bottle that was us. For this, I am grateful, and for this, I feel indebted to your somewhat damaged veracity, your usual lack of pretense, your particular brand of justice that seems available even to someone who made the cost so high, someone who decided the pieces of us that were saved are something we put back together because we can and because we do not hate what we once loved and strive for. Like magnums of champagne to which we toasted our times, I want you to know the worst is over. And when I do have a child, D will be part of the name. And just like this simple act, like you, will change me forever. And then also, I'm going to read from page 17. And that was act two. And then this is from act three. It's called Used Karma. I thought that was clever. Okay. So karma is the total effect of a person's action and conduct during the successive phases of existence held to determine destiny in Hinduism and Buddhism. Also, a distinctive aura or atmosphere. Shoshana, a very talented Zen author, woman, in the book Zen Miracles, has this to say about karma. Human life, in its conditioned form, is run by karma, an endless chain of cause and effect leading back through time, composed of our thoughts, words, and deeds. The idea is present in Western thought as well. As we sow, we shall also reap. She says we can end karma by not reacting, which is so hard to do, I think. This is how I liken recovering from mania. It is like turning over all the cards you carelessly dealt till you find out what suit and what number they are, trying to get your hand into play without disrupting the deck. It involves a lot of ongoing repairs. Internally, it is a process of mending tears in my psyche, which was disrupted by pushing myself beyond limitation. Can you imagine a used karma salesman? Would he be just as swarmy as a used car salesman? This karma gets only 5,000 miles and gets 35 miles per gallon. Try out the new hybrid engine, which runs on a soul battery and ethanol. If you buy it now, we'll throw in an aura cleansing and spirit rotation for free. This morning, we've explored the many faces and places of transformation, from butterfly symbolism in Aztec culture to Jesus' resurrection. I leave you with a few more examples to ponder, borrowed from a friend's Facebook post. So the first is, grapes must be crushed to make wine. Second, diamonds form under pressure. Third, olives are pressed to release oil. Four, seeds grow in darkness. In my edition, in journalism and creative writing, words come from mental metamorphosis. Always remember, whenever you feel crushed, under pressure, pressed, in the dark, or mentally frayed, you're in a powerful place of transformation. Trust the process.